Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Thank you for joining us in this new episode. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Brother Liaqat and Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, both of you.
Alaykum assalam.
And just as the ritual of this program goes, I would like you to introduce yourself very briefly so that we can get into the very heart of discussion. So let's just start with Sister Zainab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and Assalamu alaikum. Yes, this is Zainab Askari. I'm from Kashmir, Indian administrated Kashmir. And I've been living in Iran for some 10 years now and studying Hausa here.
Very good. Thank you for joining us, Sister Zainab. And you, Brother Liaqat?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas from India. And right now, I'm pursuing my master's in psychology. And my interest is in history, Islamic history, as well as psychology. Thank you.
Thank you both of you very much for joining us in today's episode. Well, there has been many stories and conflicts and debates and discussions over the fact that when there is a problem happening between two friends, between two nations, let's say, between whatever, whenever there is a fight, there's a person who sometimes pretends to be the scapegoat, who pretends to be the one who is sacrificed, while they really are not. Why this happens? I usually have this question whenever even there's a very little fight, a very tiny, teeny tiny fight between friends. There's always one person who comes to pretend like they're actually faking the scapegoat. Like, you're not like that. And it was a mutual thing. If I talked, you talked as well. If I told you something, you told me things as well. What happens to the story that all of a sudden you become the sacrificed?
It's basically when you try to show yourself as a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to change the narrative. It's basically this helps you get the control over the situation, get the control over the narrative, and also help you cope up with the emotional feelings of powerlessness. I think the same thing is done by Israel right now.
Mm-hmm.
Using all its power to, I don't know, to eradicate, to eliminate the Palestinians.
A nation?
And at the same time,
yeah,
acting victim in the United Nations,
yeah,
or other, like with its, in front of its allies and all. It knows that it's powerless. It knows that it used all its power, yet it's powerless. So it's trying to cope up this feeling of powerlessness and showing the world that I'm a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like, you know, trying to change the narrative. So it's a part of the defense mechanism. I think Brother would be able to talk more on it as...
So where, like, what are the strategies that they use to try to show they've been victimized?
They show that they are powerless, just like the sister has stated. Or on the other hand, they show that they are the oppressed ones. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
while the truth is that they aren't.
They aren't, okay. So, there are different contexts over here. Like, there's a part where a nation oppresses the other nation. There are people who oppress the other people. There are people, like, who kill and they show that they haven't, example. So, there are many, many things.
Many,
stories,
yeah, many
contexts, everything changes, yeah?
And we can see it in real life as well.
Definitely.
There are people who have this tendency to show that they've been victimized.
Exactly. So these kind of people are called munafiq in Islam. Those who change their narratives, those who change their faces. And we had a lot of these kind of people in Sadr Islam, like, mm-hmm, in the beginning of Islam, where people used to, were something
double-faced
else.
Double-faced people.
Yeah, double-faced people.
Rabble-rousers.
Exactly. So they would show themselves as pious Muslims, example,
mm-hmm,
but they weren't, okay?
They aren't, yeah.
Yeah. So likewise, when they would oppress someone, when they would go against someone, they would show that he, example, that opposite person has the right to be oppressed.
So they are, based on what you said and based on what sister said, their tool their strategy is using hypocrisy.
Definitely.
So yeah. With hypocrisy, we come to see the story from a different perspective, from the perspective these double-faced people want us to see the story. Mm-hmm. Let's go for a break, and then we come back to see what's more with these kind of people. Welcome back. Well, this is Back to Reality. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma at your service as the host. Sister Zainab and Brother Liaghat are in here, and they're helping us with the concept of, I guess, a common concept that happens too much nowadays, specifically now that we have social media in which people can retell stories from millions of angles. Like, it's a story. It has only one narrative, and then suddenly you come to realize that when it comes to spread between people, it gets different faces to itself. And then we came up to this conclusion that previously, when we talked about it, we come to this conclusion that these people who try to victimize, who try to show that they have been victimized, they use hypocrisy, and they are called the double-faced people. Because they are trying to defend themselves, and in order to do that, they are trying to show the other people as the oppressors.
Yeah, I think I talked on a political note before this, but apart from this hypocrisy and the political note where they do it consciously, I think we have such people who do it unconsciously as well.
Yeah, in real life, as I told you, we see a lot of them, and it has become a habit for them.
For example, if there's a conflict between two spouses, each one will represent in front of their friends or counselors
or family
themselves as victims. I think it's a very, in today's busy life, I think the sympathy is lacking, the support system is lacking, and they're looking for this sympathy and support when they're representing themselves as victims.
You see, probably I've seen it among your friends, like when they tell you their stories, the story that's happening between the couples, then you give both of them the right to be sad and mad.
Right.
Like you get perplexed what's going on, because the story from each of their perspective is actually a very excruciating story.
Yeah, you always hear, even you yourself, you always tend to hear your own narrative.
Yeah.
You don't hear the other person. You don't even listen to the other person. Mm-hmm. So that's why you always feel you are the victim of the story. You don't see other person as a victim. So always hear other person as well, I guess. I wish we should talk. I think, you know, this communication is always key in many, many, many factors. I mean, many conflicts in life.
Yeah.
Wherein, like, hey, I think those who are suffering from lower sense of self-esteem and also lower sense of support from the family, and also they have lower sense of sympathy had around, they try to show themselves as victims.
Yeah, but you know what? I think these kind of people would create a sort of people that is so selfless. Like if your mother or your father is a kind of a person who always tries to show themselves as the victimized person, they would tell you a story. They become assertive by time, like they would make you in a way, they would actually bring up a child who's going to be selfless in all the occasions. Because why? Because they want to escape from the consequences of someone coming to them pretending to be victimized. Because of not being a person like their parents or a person like their friend, or because they did not have the nerve to go for too much of debates and discussions, therefore, they turn to be very selfless people. They forget about their rights. They wouldn't speak up. I guess this is the consequence of being actually in an environment in which you're surrounded by too many of these faking victimized people.
Or too many, I would say, fearful people.
Yeah.
Like they fear standing up.
Because let's put it this way, that at the first square, why these people try to show that they have been victimized? Mm-hmm. At the beginning of today's episode, you said that because they know that they do not have any power.
Yeah.
Like in real life, they know that they did not have the right side of the story. That's why they try to sabotage things.
So basically, you know, when we see when we take an incident and we look at it, either they want attention, either they want more power. Example, okay, I cannot confront the opposite person. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to act as if I'm a victim. So I'm going to get more power. Yeah. People will come to me. They're going to support me. They should meet a psychologist, example. They should get a proper consultation mm-hmm. where they have to sort this issue. Otherwise, there are serious consequences after the person is going to die, example.
Exactly, yeah.
And you know what? This is one of those qualities, I would say, which are highly disliked by Allah subhanahu mm-hmm. wa ta'ala, where a person is not a victim and is playing as if he's a victim. Okay, so that's the reason the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu wassalam, when they come, they keep forward the truth and they have a lot of transparency. Example, we see the story where a person steals away the saddle of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
And so let's keep the story for after the break.
Okay.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So you were just saying the story.
Yeah. So where the person steals away the saddle of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam was like, this is my saddle.
Yeah.
And they go in front of a judge, and the judge was like, present me your witness and stuff. Imam Ali alayhi salam was like, I don't have any witness. This is my saddle and stuff. The opposite person was playing as if like, okay, you know what? This is my saddle. And he is the one who is trying to steal away my yeah. saddle from me. Of course, because Imam Ali alayhi salam didn't have any witness. So the Christian guy won the battle and he was like, okay, it's his saddle. Okay, the judge passes the hukum or judgment. Then after he gets down, Imam Ali alayhi salam was so clear and like his face was brilliantly bright. So the Christian guy, he comes and he apologizes and he was like, I'm so sorry. Like this is your saddle, and he apologized to the judge as well. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I was actually playing a victim over here. And I wanted the saddle for sure.
Today we have smartphones, right? And for example, I want to show myself as victim, and this smartphone allows mm-hmm. me to record things in the real time.
Yeah,
I record things in a way, in a double standard way, where I want to show myself as victim. I provoke the other person.
Yeah,
and I do not say anything, and I keep on recording.
Mm-hmm.
So this has allowed me to be showing more narrative.
Or you just show a part of the reality.
Yeah,
not the
yeah, you just show
reality.
A part of the reality. Yeah, basically, this is the technology did this with us. And also on the social media, when you happen to share such stories, okay,
that's
there was
why
a victim, there was a this,
judge.
There was this, and then when this victim gets a lot of support or sympathy and all, I think this has added to more mm-hmm. being
to the
victimhood
of
victimhood,
people
yeah.
who just try acting to pretend.
As,
yeah.
yeah,
this process of acting out is a very dangerous process. As I just said, it needs to be met by scholars, by someone who could help you. Speaking of the other point, is that you're hurting yourself, because I guess this way you're going to suffer from, you know, your confidence is going to be affected. The way you're going to present yourself to the world is going to be affected. Nobody is going to trust you anymore. Nobody is going to trust you with important missions anymore. I don't think you're going to be a loved person by anyone around you.
And the punishment in the hereafter shouldn't
thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, that's very important, because in the story that you mentioned, Imam Ali did not have any witness. If it went like that and the story remained untouched, then one person has been oppressed because he had no witness. So when people, I read it somewhere and it was very interesting, that said, be afraid of the people who do not have anyone but God. So when you see that you have much more power over some other people who do not have that much of power, you have the dominancy, you have the power, and you use it against them, then you must be afraid of the hereafter, because the torture is going to be too much. And in the media, well, again, we have to mention the concept of hyper-reality, the reality that has got no origin. They try to make you actually, it's a mirage. It's technically a mirage. You get into it, you feel like it's the reality, but it is not the reality. So you have to be very careful about the judgments you pass over people, specifically when you are an active participant of the social media. So thank you very much. I hope it comes as a fruitful session for everyone who listened to us. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.